Without fire, there is no light, no warmth, no passion, no action, no change. But a single flame can ignite life, hope, passion, power, fire. Destitute of the fire of God, nothing else counts. Possessed in fire, nothing else matters. Let the Holy Spirit ignite a fire in you that will burn for the glory of God. For our Lord has promised us, He will ignite the kingdom life within you. A fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. Ignite. Join us at Agape House New Testament Church every weekend, beginning August 17th and 18th, as we seek God for a fresh outpouring of fire. Ignite Sermon Series, Agape House New Testament Church, Agape Land, near ENC Square, East Legon.
Welcome to Revelation. I'm so glad that you've joined me today as we begin a new teaching series called Mind Games. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be studying God's Word to see what the Bible says about our minds and how you can change your life by changing your thinking. I believe this is one of the most important teaching series we've ever done here at Revelation Media Ministry because the mind is the main battlefield for the life of man. You see, the enemy knows that if he can control your mind, he can control your destiny. So he plays mind games with us all day long, trying his best to win the battle of our minds and defeat us through our thinking. If he can plant his thoughts in our heads and make us believe his view of the truth, then it will end up in causing death to our lives. But if you believe God's thoughts and believe God's perception of life, then it will result in lasting life change. That's the truth we're going to discover in our scripture text. It's on your television screen, taken from Romans 12, chapter 2. I'd like to invite you to read it together with me out loud. Are you ready? Here we go. Romans 12, 2. Ready? Go. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, friends, I love this passage from Romans 12. As a young Christian, I can remember that I memorized the entire chapter of Romans 12. And throughout this teaching series, we're going to come back to this powerful verse because it's a key to what God wants to do in your life. It talks about changing our lives and the way to change by changing our thinking. And this is a pattern in the Bible. So let's break it down section by section as we discover three truths about lasting life change. Now here's the first truth you need to know today, and it's this. We all need to change. Let's go back to our scripture text from Romans 12 and see what it says about that. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How many of us today know that we need to change? Is anybody listening to me today perfect? Have you attained all that God has planned for you? If we're honest, we're going to know that we need to change. We have to grow. We have to be transformed so we can mature in our faith. But this is where the battle for our mind begins, because the enemy comes in with lies. Those lies appeal to the flesh, and we accept and believe them. And when we do, it affects the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we act. In fact, there are two lies the enemy brings to us in our minds about lasting life change. The first is this. He tells us that lasting life change is not possible. The devil comes in and lies to you and says, you cannot change. And how many times have you heard someone say, oh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? Friends, that's a true statement made by Jesus himself, but it's not the whole truth. Jesus added more to that statement. When you only quote part of his words, you get error. The verse is found in Matthew 26:41, and here's the rest of what Jesus said. He said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. You see, the rest of the passage tells us how to overcome the flesh. Watch and pray. Jesus acknowledges that the flesh is weak, but then he tells us how we can overcome the flesh. So if lasting life change is not possible in this life, then Jesus must be a pretty weak Savior. If he can only take me to heaven, but he can't help me on this earth, then what is the point of serving him now? But friends, I believe my God is a powerful Savior. He has the power and the grace to help me to overcome in this life on this earth. He can turn your life around and change you as well. I love the passage found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul lists a long list of sins. He talks about immorality and drunkenness and stealing and all kinds of evil. And then in verse 11 he says, some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Lasting life change is possible through the power of Jesus Christ. I may not be all that I should be, but I am not the same as I used to be. Jesus has saved me and changed me. If you believe it, say amen. The second lie that the enemy brings to our mind about lasting life change is this. Lasting life change is not necessary. The devil will come and tell you, first of all, it's not possible, which is not true. And secondly, he says, it's not necessary. You see, some people say, well, I'm saved no matter what I do, so it really doesn't matter how I live. I'm going to heaven anyway, so let me live life as I please. But God says in Ephesians 4:17, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord Jesus, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Friend, if you think that the way you live doesn't matter, then you are deceiving yourself. It is not possible to continue with Christ and remain unchanged. Either the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. You can't have it both ways. Jesus himself told us how important it is that we show an evidence of change in our lives. In Matthew 7:16-20, he said this, you will know them by their fruits. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. What is the Lord telling us? Well, in the passage in Ephesians, he's saying, I insist that you change your life. And in this passage, he's telling us we must bear fruit. We must have the evidence in us of a changed life. If you're saved today, if you're born again, then it must be evident from the things you do and say. You cannot be born again and stay the same for the rest of your life. Now, we know that we're not to judge unrighteous judgment, but the Bible does say we're advised to inspect people's fruit. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. In other words, if there's no good fruit, then there's no evidence of life inside of you. If there's no good fruit in your life, then there's no evidence of salvation. Jesus permits us and even advises us to test and try someone by their actions, conduct, behavior, and character. If the fruit is lacking, then it is evidence that life from God is also lacking. While we must avoid judging people unfairly, we must not think that means we cannot wisely observe and analyze the evidence to determine if someone is genuine or not. And it begins not only in our lives, but as we judge ourselves and as we grow in maturity, we can begin to also bring that message of change to others around us. Let me tell you a story about a young man who lived years ago in Nigeria. In a certain village, there was a very poor young man. He had nothing at all in his hand, but he wanted to impress a certain young lady, so he invited her to visit him. But unfortunately, he had no place to stay and nothing to give, so he was just squatting with friends, and he wondered what he could do to impress this young lady. Then he decided to ask one of his friends if he could borrow his furnished room. After agreeing with the friend that he could use the furnished room for a few hours, then he gathered a few stray dogs from around the village and rubbed them with some black shoe polish. He tied them up some distance from the room. When the young lady came, he told her that the place where they were sitting was his own place and this was his furniture. He lied to her. When she asked him what did he do to earn a living, he told her he owned a lot of goats and he got money from that. The young lady was not too impressed, so she asked to see his goats. And then he took her to the window and pointed to the distance where he tied up the dogs that had been rubbed with the black shoe cream. She was about to be convinced because from a distance she couldn't distinguish between the dogs and the goats. And she thought, oh, well, evidently the young man has a flock of goats. Maybe, in fact, he's making money from them. But as she was about to be convinced and about to be impressed with this young man and his borrowed room and his goats that were actually dogs, suddenly one of the dogs started barking. And then, of course, she knew that it was all a deception. And friends, that's the way it is in our Christian life. If a life looks like a dog, walks like a dog, and barks like a dog, then it's a dog. If you look like a sinner, act like a sinner, talk like a sinner, and smell like a sinner, then you're a sinner. And the point is this, the Bible clearly links your conduct with your Christianity. They are not separate. Your conduct and your faith must go hand to hand. A new believer may be immature, but Paul makes it clear that if you stay immature for a long time, then your Christianity, your faith, is called into question. If you never grow and never change, then we have to ask, are you truly following Jesus Christ? Where is the evidence of your salvation? For where there's life, there's growth. And where there's growth, there's change. And God has called us to a journey with Him that necessitates our spiritual transformation. It may take time, it may take work, but it's not only necessary and possible, it is required. In fact, Jesus gives a warning to the church. He says, "Repent, or I will remove you from my kingdom." Listen to Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. These are the words of Jesus. "Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches." Friends, we must reject the lies the devil puts in our minds and accept the truth. For the truth is this, God has called us to grow up and become like Jesus. Ephesians 4 tells us we are not meant to remain as children, but to grow up in every way into Christ. In fact, that is His very purpose for your life. Before you were even born, God chose that you should not just be saved, not just go to heaven, but that you should become like Jesus. Listen to Romans 8:29. The Bible says, "For from the very beginning, God decided that those who come to Him should become like His Son." So understand today, the devil will try to lie to you and tell you that lasting life change is not possible. He'll try to lie and tell you that lasting life change is not necessary. But God's destiny and plan for you is that you change and become like Jesus. It's possible and it's essential. But that brings the question, how will lasting life change happen? Well, here's a truth that will give us the key to lasting life change, and it's this. If you change your thinking, you will change your life. Remember our text from Romans 12:2? The Bible says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And see, friends, here's an important truth to remember. We are new creatures when we're saved, but there's also a process of becoming a new person. That process of becoming a new person is called sanctification. That's the cleansing from the old life. And sanctification is instant when you confess your sins and ask God to forgive you. He puts your sins under His blood. But sanctification is also a process. We grow over time. That's why Romans 12 tells us there are two aspects to lasting life change. There's our part, where the Bible says, don't copy the world, change the way you think. And then there's God part, where it says, let God transform you. You have to do both. God can instantly deliver you from the power of sin and from sinful habits, but that doesn't take away your responsibility to grow. You have to crucify the flesh. You have to yield to God. You have to discipline yourself. You can cast out the devil, but you still have to crucify the flesh. You can't cast out the flesh. It's a process to put it to death. The good news for all of us today is that when we are in the process of sanctification, we are not alone. For God will never leave you to struggle by yourself. The instant you take a step towards lasting life change, God comes and meets you there by the power of the Holy Spirit. He meets you where you are. The only place God will not meet you is the place where you refuse to follow Him. For God doesn't force anyone. You have to activate your will, and when you do, He's right there to support you and to sustain you. But here's where the enemy comes in again with two more lies. He lies to us about the process of life change. And here's his first lie. He says, lasting life change is all God's work. And a lot of Christians make this mistake. We think that it's all up to God. We say, well, there's nothing I can do. God's just got to come and revive me or strike me with His Spirit. But in Romans 8:6, the Bible says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. The devil lies and said, sanctification is all God's work. Secondly, he comes and says, lasting life change is all man's work. But God says in Romans 7:24 and 25, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see, friends, lasting life change is a combination. You can't change yourself. Only God can transform you. But God doesn't force you. You have to give God something to work with. The more you give Him to work with, the more quickly you will change. To be quite frank, if you spend 5 hours a day watching Nigerian films and 5 minutes a day in prayer and Bible study, you will not be transformed. If you spend 5 hours a day in gossip and complaining and judging others and 5 minutes a day loving God and others, you will not be transformed. For God clearly tells us how we'll change. By changing our thinking. And that's something you control. You can determine what you think about. When you fill your mind with the Word, then you'll become like Jesus. If you fill your mind with trash, you'll become like the devil. Trash in, trash out. Truth in, truth out. So here's the truth you need to know today. Lasting life change begins when you're born again, and it continues as you change your thinking. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us when we're born again, we change. For it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. But that beginning of the new life continues when we change our thinking. For Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Oftentimes when we want to change, we start with our behavior. I'm not going to do that anymore, we say. I'm going to stop and fill in the blank. I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to stop stealing. I'm going to stop lusting. I'm going to stop fornicating. But the problem is that this type of change doesn't last. As soon as the next temptation comes around, we fall for it. Some people say, I'm going to change, and they think it comes by changing their emotions. I'm determined to be happy no matter what, they say. But to have true life change, you have to start back before your actions and before your emotions. You have to start with your thinking, because thoughts lead to emotions. You can't feel an emotion simply by wanting to. You feel emotions when you start to think on a thing. If I think about what someone has done to me, I might feel angry. The longer I think about it, the stronger my feelings will become. Then if I start having a conversation with others about that person, I might start gossiping or complaining. If I want to feel happy, I have to start thinking about happy things. I think about my children and how good they are. I think about something my wife does or says that makes me smile, and I feel happy. So you see, whether it's anger and sin or happiness and peace, it all is based upon what we think about. Perception can affect your emotions. What you think determines how you feel. So you can't begin life change by determining to change your conduct. You cannot begin life change by determining to change your feelings. You've got to change your thinking. Life change begins by changing your thoughts. That's the lesson Kofi learned early one Sunday morning. Kofi was up and walking to church in town when all of a sudden he saw a scene that shocked him. A young lady carrying a small baby ran past him frantically. As he saw her running past him, he could see a look of fear on her face. And just as she raced past him, Kofi looked up and saw a man running down the street after her, chasing her. He had a cutlass raised in his hands, and it was obvious he was chasing the woman to attack her. Now, Kofi wasn't the type of person to meddle in other people's affairs, but this scene was so disturbing, he knew he had to do something. If he didn't get involved, the man was going to hurt the woman and her child. And even though they might have been having a family quarrel, Kofi knew he had to calm the man down before he killed the woman. So Kofi leapt into action. He dropped his Bible and stood in the way of the oncoming man. Bravely, Kofi blocked the man's path and tried to calm him down. The man kept coming, but Kofi stood his ground. And just as the man approached, Kofi threw himself down and tackled the man by his legs. The cutlass went flying through the air, and Kofi was able to wrestle the man to the ground. "Sir, please don't do it. Don't hurt your wife," Kofi pleaded. "My wife," the man said. "That's not my wife. That woman is a thief. My wife left our baby in bed while she went to bathe, and this woman snuck into our house and stole our baby." Just then, the real mother of the baby ran up screaming, "My baby, my baby, that woman has stolen my baby." And instantly, Kofi's thoughts changed. Instead of stopping the man, he now started to chase the lady who had stolen the baby. He had felt fear for the woman's safety, but now he felt anger at her for her actions. He had to stop her. He had tried to stop the father, but now he had to stop the thief. You see, when his perception of truth changed, then his emotions and his actions also changed. Emotions don't come under the direct control of your will. You can't automatically choose to feel one way or the other. Emotions are under the control of your thoughts. That's why you can't experience life change by changing the way you feel. You have to change your thinking. Listen to the truth in Ephesians 4. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off the old, renew your thinking, and put on the new. And that brings us to our third truth today. You've got to learn and be changed. Back in our scripture text in Romans 12:2, it says, "Then you will learn to know God's will for your life." Lasting life change requires you to learn. You have to unlearn your bad habits and relearn new habits and thought patterns. Some are easy and some are hard. But listen to what Proverbs 8:5 says. Are you immature? Learn to be mature. Are you foolish? Learn to have sense. My wife likes to rearrange furniture. She doesn't do it as much as she used to in our early years of marriage. But in those early years of marriage, my wife was often moving furniture in the house. Maybe it's because we couldn't afford to buy any new chairs, so she would move the old ones to try to create a new scene. It didn't really bother me that she was often moving the furniture, but sometimes it created a problem for me. I would get used to a chair or table being in a certain place, and then it would be shifted. I remember one time in particular, my wife moved a piece of furniture. I was in the habit of it being in one place, so every time after she moved it, I kept hitting my foot on that new piece of furniture where it was. I had to learn a new way of thinking. I could tell myself over and over the truth, but it took time to learn. But learning doesn't just come from memorizing facts. There's a difference between information and revelation. Let me tell you some of the differences. Information comes immediately, but revelation is a process. Information is a seed, but revelation turns the seed into a fruit. You see, all truth is a seed of information, but revelation makes it fruit in your life. That's why you can hear the truth and have a seed of knowledge. You can get excited about it and let it be in you, but until it's revealed, until you have understanding from God, it can't develop fruit in your life. Sometimes we hear messages and we say, yes, I'm going to be different, I'm going to change. But 3 months later, we haven't changed at all, because knowledge alone does not produce lasting life change. Adam and Eve had knowledge of the truth in the Garden of Eden, but they didn't have revelation. What they really needed was revelation from God. And today, many people have knowledge, but they lack the revelation of Jesus Christ. Some may even study theology or study the Bible, but they're not even saved. That's why Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we're here, of course, at Revelation. We're here to teach you the truth and also to pray that God will give you revelation about that truth. That's why I want to encourage you today to go to my website at www.revrcw.com. There you'll find the notes for today's teaching and all the different study guides that can help you put this truth into practice, that God will enlighten your mind and give you the revelation you need. We all need to change. It's God's will for our lives to change. Change comes when we're born again, but it continues as we change our way of thinking, as we learn new thought patterns. It may take work, but lasting life change is possible by the power of God. As we close today, let me read 1 Timothy 4 to you. Train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who's the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Next week, I'll be continuing this series with a message titled, A Beautiful Mind. We're going to discover what it really means to love God with our minds. Until then, may God richly bless you. Keep studying the Word of God and be transformed by the power of His truth.